Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. Andrew Stump is here, the new owner of the Wahine Mau. When we say new, not that new now, though.
No, it's already a couple of years.
This
will be our third season.
Well, there was this whole void during COVID where...
Yeah, everyone took a hiatus during
and
COVID.
And time was different, so, yeah. And you purchased the vessel during that time.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
We took it over from Charlie and Aaron in December 21.
And were you able to actually use it at that time?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I got to say,
I can't remember when all the lockdowns happened now.
Yeah, so we kind of missed that first lockdown that had been and gone during the downtime, you know, during the winter period.
Yeah.
And then that first summer of COVID was okay. I mean, for us, it was good. We got a soft start. You know, we were learning our way through things. And I wasn't in the country just yet. I didn't actually arrive in the country till a couple of months later. And I've got a great lady called Helen Nakai who's doing my back office and running the operation.
Yeah, yeah.
And Barlow Rawiri, who's the skipper. So, yeah, we had a pretty good team that pulled us through that first summer.
Okay. And, I mean, it's a bit kind of, it seems like a financially precarious time to be getting into tourism businesses.
Yeah.
But it's worked out.
Yeah, naivety is a good thing, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. What you don't know, you don't worry about.
Exactly. You know, that second year of COVID, so last year, that was a tough one, you know. So there was all the lockdowns, and then we had the mask regulations, and getting into the country was difficult. There still weren't tourists, so it wasn't a great year last year.
Did mask regulations apply on a boat? How does even work?
They did, I know. Yeah. Yeah, they did, and especially for the staff.
Yeah.
We're a licensed food and alcohol premise, so we came under those regulations.
Right.
And a ferry, public transport.
Oh, yeah. So, okay,
we got hit everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there tended to be a lot of loopholes, things that the bureaucrats hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
I thought something like that might be something, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because, of course, a lot of the punters don't want to wear a mask or don't want to be vaccinated, but a lot of them also do want to be. So now you have a conflict between those not.
Yeah, and that happened everywhere.
Yeah.
That was everyone felt strongly. Well, not everyone, but enough people felt strongly about it to make it hard to juggle.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. We're all dealing with that. But how's it been now? I mean, all the rules are gone and all that. It's just life is normal now. The tourists are back in the country.
Yep.
Is things going well for the start of the summer?
They are, and we're trying to come to terms with it. We don't always understand what's happening. You know, you can do a lot of analysis on your active, you know, most busy days, the days with the most bookings, and who books at what time, and this and that. And we're still learning because, frankly speaking, things are a little bit unpredictable. So I can give an example. Yesterday was a Monday night, and, you know, we had 35 people on the boat, and we... Normally we're not open on a Monday night,
right?
So it's not our traditional time to be open. But what we found is that with the inbound tour operators, right, there's probably about five or six that are coming now regularly to Raglan with busloads of 16 to 20 people. They usually call in on the boat and they either do a lunchtime cruise or a sunset cruise.
Yeah.
When they come.
Yep.
And then we open it up to the public and we top up the boat from there. So, last night was... And the interesting thing about last night, for example, was actually that the tour operators had all Australians on board, and then the free independent travellers that came on board were also mostly Australians.
Right.
Apart from two American guys who got some cheap deal from Oregon for $800 there and back to New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, somebody's making a loss.
Well, someone's trying to encourage people to sit on the plane.
Yeah, well, I mean, and they will. I mean, they're trying to rebuild that whole industry.
Yeah.
And I hear plane prices, all sorts of stories about plane prices.
Normally it's the other way around, right? It costs a fortune to go fly anywhere, you know? You fly for economy to Europe and back, and it's the price of what business class would have been 12 months ago.
Yeah, I'm just going to lean back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. That's good. Is that Barlow pulling up outside?
That is.
Captain
Barlow turning up.
Captain Barlow's going to be in the studio in a moment.
Yep.
So what made you decide that you wanted to own the Wahine Mau in Raglan? Because you were living overseas, you were telling me the other day.
Yeah, I've been overseas for a number of years, but Raglan's always been kind of home since 1991. And, you know, Mum and Dad were here, and we always came here on holiday with our family and spent long periods of here.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I kind of was. I guess it was romance.
Okay, right.
Totally romantic and not rational at all.
Hey, Barlow, grab a seat and grab that mic, that orange mic. Swing that around to the seat. And we're going to get Barlow on the air in a sec. Yeah, grab a seat so you're comfortable and we'll be good to go. So here we go.
He's just been parking the boat.
Need so, Captain down. Barlow, welcome to the studio.
Kia ora. Kia ora whangaroa.
And how do you become captain of a boat?
Exactly. That's an interesting question. Of course, it all started with Charlie up at the surf school when I was up there. And they came across the concept of having a boat because we're already in the tourism business.
Yeah.
And working with Charlie and Rockingham and Aaron. So it was just a natural progression for me to go from being out in the surf, teaching surfing, to going down onto the boat.
And I guess you have to do some courses and things, or do you not have to? I don't know how this works.
Yeah. So, of course, you have to do so many hours before you become a captain.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, once you've done enough hours, you go sit your captain's ticket.
Okay. And that's all. I mean, you did that years ago now, so.
Yeah. It's coming up to what? Just about 13 years.
Mm. 13 years.
You did that with Coast Guard a lot as well.
Yeah, and a plus Coast Guard. And
oh, okay. So you're already pretty familiar with the harbour.
Yeah.
Do you ever take the Wahine Mai over the bar at all, or is that not a good idea?
Only if it's like a mill pond, though, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, it has to be a consensus with everybody on board that we're going over the bar, and once we go over the bar, technically they're all pirates.
You give them a parrot each, put it on their shoulder.
And catch on the eye.
Yeah.
As long as you don't lop off a leg.
So, Andrew, you were talking about it was a romantic idea to own the Wahine Mai. You were captured by the romance of it.
Yeah, at that moment I didn't know that Barlow came with a boat.
Oh, I see. It spoiled the romance a little.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Changed it slightly.
I mean, did you have much of a... Had you spent much time with boats?
Oh, you know, not really, I guess. I spent the last 20 years in boat shipbuilding, big boats, oil tankers and container ships.
Okay. It's not so really the same, is it?
It's not quite the same, yeah, but I kind of, in my romantic idea it was, yeah. I've done a fair bit of sailing in the Mediterranean, the Adriatic, and I did a lot of sailing actually in the Raglan Harbour over the years. We always had catamarans here or trimarans, so I'm pretty familiar with this harbour.
Yeah.
And, I guess that's what it was. We had a lot of visitors that used to come and stay with us, and we'd holiday here all the time, and I'd always show them around the harbour, and so, yeah, it kind of seemed like a pretty good idea to step into that area. It's like something I did as a hobby, trying to make me my income, I guess.
Yeah. What are the bits that aren't related to the hobby? Because it's like you're in hospitality as well.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. I'm pretty good at being on the end of it, but not delivering it.
Or receiving hospitality.
Yes. Done a lot of receiving.
Yeah.
But that's been not too bad, actually. And, you know, it is a little bit hospitality light, to be honest, because we keep it pretty simple.
Yeah.
And we're not we do have a liquor license, but it's a kind of a convenience thing more than a party thing. We don't drive the party too hard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You say you're not relying on selling alcohol for the whole thing to fly.
Oh, no, not at all. No. Yeah. If we were, we'd be closing up shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't make a lot of money on the alcohol.
You probably also don't want very drunk people on a boat, do you?
No, that's not a good combination.
Yeah.
And it's all about the harbour, anyway.
Come a bit closer, Barlow.
And it's all about the harbour and
that's
the,
what
and
people
the view
want,
and
that's
the
what people want to see.
And the history. Yeah.
Okay, and so you're not just the captain, like you tell the story as well.
Yeah.
Barlow, as people are going around?
Yeah, as we go around the harbour, I run a history lesson of the harbour there.
Okay.
We go across the northern shores, we talk about all the Māori pā sites,
Waka
Kōkako, Pātikiro, Tukutuka, Te
Horia. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they get quite an experience when they're on the harbour with us on the Wahine Mai.
Yeah. I went on a sunset cruise once, so I'm kind of familiar. So I'm sitting, how am I going to describe this? From the wharf, we went inland a bit.
Yeah.
And then turned around and came back out to near the bar. Do you have trips that go much deeper into the harbour?
On the private trips, We can explore a little bit more of the harbour.
Yeah.
It's just that on the Sunset Cruises, we're only restricted to 1.5 hours. So
yeah,
we try and get in as much as we can in that 1.5 hours on the Sunset trips.
Yeah.
But the private trips, we can take a little bit longer and we can do a little bit more things with them.
How much of the harbour is actually sailable with the Waheni Moa? Because we know there's a lot of mud flats and quite shallow, and depends on the tides and all that. Like, do you have to be pretty careful once you get deep in the harbour?
When you head down to the bottom end of the Raglan Harbour, heading towards the Narrows and down towards Wainaro, especially past Sugarloaf Island, it gets, like you say, all the mud flats down there.
Yeah.
That's why I always say any harbour you go into around New Zealand, always go on a low tide.
Yeah.
That way you get to see all the channels.
Oh, yeah.
The sandbars.
Yeah.
So when you come back out on a high tide, you've got a rough reference of where things are.
And if you do get stuck, it's just a matter of waiting.
Yeah.
And the tide will come and rescue you.
And the Waiheni boy's not a bad boat to be stuck on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's plenty of supplies to keep the party going. Well, as we've discussed, not too much.
No.
So has Barlow let you actually drive the boat, Andrew?
Yeah, he's been teaching me quite nicely, actually, if I'm honest. I've got my... The first thing I did was went and got my skipper's license.
Yeah.
And actually, it's been a 2-year process. It's not so easy today to get your skipper's license.
Yeah.
There's sort of I'm not going to call it probation periods, but you have to fulfill a certain amount of hours and can be 6 months or more for each step. So, my license now allows me to drive a boat up to 24 metres with passengers.
Up to 24 metres, what does the 24 metres refer to?
The size of the boat.
Oh, okay.
Right. Maximum. I can't drive a boat bigger than that, 24 metres, yeah.
You can't captain an oil tanker?
No, not yet.
Yeah. That would be... Not that we've had many of them in the harbour here.
I don't recently.
Have you guys seen the photos of the biggest ships that used to come to when the cement tower was still being used?
Mm.
Those ships were quite big.
They're pretty big boats, yeah.
Yeah, I remember them as a kid.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Of course... we used to live up on Violet Street and that back down onto Cox's Bay.
Yeah.
Just off Government Road there. So from Cox's Bay right down to the wharf as a kid was our play area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do remember those ships quite well. When they used to come in, especially the cement boats, we got to know the crew and the captain really well. And as soon as they come in, we used to jump on the boats as kids and...
Health and safety was different back then, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, we used to jump on and then run off to the galley, go get some fruit, and then up to the wheelhouse to go talk to the captain.
Did the captain know you were doing that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, we were well known on the wharf. We were the wharf kids at the wharf time.
Kids. So that
as,
so this
as
is
many
like,
of other families before us were.
So it's like no surprise, Barlow, that really that you've ended up like working on a boat in the harbour, really.
Oh, exactly. It's
yeah.
like a 360 just... full circle round.
So how did it happen? Did Charlie go to you and say, oh, I need someone to captain the boat, I've got this idea, or did you hear about the idea and like, that's me, I'll do it?
Of course, we already had Ian Harding with us as well. Of course, being the longest running harbour cruise man on the harbour, so it was rude if we just threw the Waheni Moe boat on the harbour, so we went and approached Ian, and then Ian... he was happy enough to join us in the first stages of the Waheni Moe.
Yeah.
Safe
to say that I actually learnt a little bit more along with Ian.
Right.
With Ian Harding there.
Yeah. And it's... were you excited to become the captain?
Oh, exactly. Like you're saying, you know, I was brought up on the harbour anyway, on boats, so it was just a natural progression to end up that way as a captain.
Yeah. Are you happy to keep doing it?
Yeah, I'll stay with it as long as Andrew wants me on the Waheni Moe with him.
Yeah, yeah. So just so people know, like we just mentioned there's Sunset Cruises and people can hire a charter deep into the harbour, which would probably take quite a while. I imagine might could end up being there for a lot of the day. What sort of stuff do you guys actually do that we haven't mentioned? Just so people know, like.
I mean, there's a barbecue on board, for example, so you can be quite. You can do a real Kiwi style, you know, Sunday lunch. event. That's I think that's something that I personally quite like and have done with my family a couple of times. But you can beach the boat quite nicely because it's a catamaran. You can nose on up to the beach, and we've got a drawbridge that drops down, and you can, you know, walk off the boat quite happily.
Yeah,
we do that quite often on the North Shore on the beach, and then you can go, and people like to have a little bit of a look around.
Yeah,
we did that recently with the Chamber of Commerce, and it was quite remarkable how many people had never been over there before.
I haven't been to that. Like, I wanted to go to that, but I had something else on.
Yeah,
because the station is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. But
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I haven't done that kind of thing, go across on the boat and get on the beach where you were.
And I quite like going in behind Motokokako to where the ski lane is and dropping anchor and swimming there. So we have an extra-large stand-up paddleboard that six people can paddle around on and go for a swim. So those sort of... They're the sort of options.
And what sort of people? Also, when people charter for some reason, what sort of things are they doing? What sort of gatherings are they having?
Birthday parties are pretty common.
Birthdays,
anniversaries, family reunions is a pretty big one.
Yeah.
The odd wedding, memorials, a lot of memorials, which is basically a family reunion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Dance party. Perhaps or hens parties, pretty popular.
Right.
Don't get too many stag do's out here. There's nowhere to go afterwards for the stags.
Oh, I see.
But the hens like it.
Okay, right. Yeah, yeah. Just I didn't think about that. Yeah, okay. And you, Andrew, when you were younger and you were here, were you out in the harbour much?
You know, it's really interesting. The first time I came to Raglan, I was 12 years old. And I stayed down in Gillett's farm on Greenslade Road in a little house right next to the jetty, and I jumped off that jetty and I just thought that was the coolest place on earth.
Yeah.
And I've ever since I wanted to come back. And then in 1991 we ended up buying a house a couple of doors down from there.
Right.
And yeah, I guess that's it really. I mean, I spent a fair bit of time sort of in the late 70s and early 80s in Raglan. Stayed up in a place up on the main road as well, swam down here under the bridge, and I don't know, I just for whatever reason I was very attracted to Raglan, even at, you know, at a time where Raglan wasn't very attractive to too many people. It was known as a rough place with a, you know, lots of fights in the pub.
My father was a school principal in Hamilton in the early 90s, and he kind of held that view.
My dad too, a little bit.
Time it's changed, and you would have noticed. Were you away for like 20 years and didn't see Raglan for 20 years, pretty much?
No, not quite. I mean, I've been abroad for 30 years, and but always came back, you know, at least once, twice a year.
Okay.
I would say, yeah. Sometimes a little bit more frequently.
I was just curious if people noticed the changes to the town.
I've kind of lived those changes, so I noticed them for sure, but I don't notice them in a shocking, you know, surprise.
Yeah, like what the heck's happened. Yeah.
It's still a small town to me. I lived in Shanghai. They have 30 million people.
Yeah, well, that's a useful perspective for those of us living here, really. It's like,
I mean, I went up, it was interesting, I went to Warkworth the other day, and I was just looking at Warkworth. I always considered a small place, but it's pretty big compared to Raglan, you know.
Yeah.
Or I went to Little, it's funny, I went to Little Waihee on the weekend with my mother and father, who no longer live in Raglan now, and Mum said, Little Waihee, you know, at the end of Papamoa Beach there.
Yeah.
She said, that reminds me of Raglan when we moved there in 91.
Right.
And it was kind of interesting, yeah. But I think it's even smaller, though, because all it has is one shop.
Yeah. Raglan was more like a retirement village in the 80s and stuff like that. That's what I remember as a kid growing up.
Right. To you as a kid, it seemed like a lot of older people around.
Yeah.
And you noticed the changes too, I'm sure.
Right? Yeah, definitely seen the changes to Raglan, to the town.
Yeah. You went to school here?
Yeah.
Which school was it when you were going to school?
Raglan Area School.
Raglan Area School, yeah. Okay. You're not that old, you wouldn't go to the old school or anything?
No.
That's a bit rough for me, actually.
Yeah, so who was that? Mr. Maloney was the principal at the time, and Mr. Tansley.
Okay.
And Jeff Young.
Okay.
Some really good people.
I think I was at school somewhere else around that time. Yeah. And so, do you have other than Barlow? Barlow, you've got assistants on the boat, other than yourself. Like you're the captain.
Yep, but of course we have some really brilliant crew on board. Valerial at the moment, he'll be kind of more or less like our bolson on the boat, would you say?
Yeah. Chief steward.
Yeah, chief steward,
really. He's chief steward. He's running the show.
Yeah. Everyone gets a title, a nautical title.
Yeah, we try to stick with those. But at least we know, trying to give it a traditional thing. Yeah. He's a hospitality guy. He worked at Orca for last year. Okay. And he was about to leave New Zealand, and then he decided to stay on.
Right.
So we threw him a bone, and he said, I'll go with it. So we're kind of letting him run the show a little bit at the moment. So he runs the whole hospitality side of it.
Yeah.
And, so Barlak just has to look after the boat. And Helen is an Nākoi, who I mentioned before. She does all the back office administration and keeps us honest, actually.
Yeah, wouldn't be there without you, Auntie Helen Nākoi.
We got other Auntie Helens? Probably got a few.
No, there's only one. Yeah, I don't know. For us, there's only one.
There's only one on our boat.
There's only one.
But our boat is structured around whānau, around family. That's how we run things on the boat.
Yeah.
Just because I'm the captain doesn't mean too much. Everybody has equal say on the boat.
Okay. And are you, I guess you're just settling in after lockdown, all the lockdowns and COVID and getting the tourists back. There's no bigger ideas or ambitions to develop in any way, do you reckon?
And I think we've already expanded the service offering quite a bit. Traditionally the boat didn't run public cruises until Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And we already started them in September this year.
Right.
We just thought, let's just give it a go. And then it was like, wow, Monday's work. Let's open up a Monday too to the public and so on and so forth. So we are opening, and now and also lunchtime. We didn't do lunchtime before, but we have the tour operators are coming in on lunchtime, so we open it up to the public as well. So I think we're way ahead of where we were. We're just extending the service more frequently and trying to be more available more often.
So if locals that have got like family in town and they want to have a sail, how can they find out when the sailing's happening?
Easiest thing is to go on their website, raglanboatcharters.co.nz, and the first tab that you see, it says check the schedule.
Yep.
And you can go onto the schedule and go through, check what product you want to do, whether it's a sunset or a lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then just see what's available.
Okay. Yeah. And I know we're going to try and do something here with the radio as well after this interview.
Yeah.
And set something up to let people know. So because it sounds like you could just decide, I feel like going for a sail, and there's a good chance that you guys will
space.
Be out there.
There's always there's space. I mean, the sunset cruisers they sell out, over the peak season. The lunchtime cruisers are usually available, and they're different. The experience is different, but I think they're both awesome.
Yeah.
I think we've also noticed that people are very weather conscious, and they book when they see the weather's nice. On the day, all of a sudden you'll notice, here we go, the bookings are coming.
Yes.
And but actually, many times when it's overcast or even a little bit drizzly, those weather conditions can be even better than a glaringly hot blue sky day.
You've got that kind of mysterious, misty thing going on.
The colours are different. The colours are more enriched. And, the wildlife seems to be in a different mode as well.
Yeah. And it's a dramatic landscape here. It's not just about like the East Coast where it's the white sand beaches and sunny days. I know that this coast is awesome on a stormy day.
Exactly. We've got beautiful rolling hills down the bottom end of the harbour. Nice farmland, rolling hills. Different scenery to the top end, out by the bar, down the bottom end of the harbour there, heading towards the Narrows. And still a lot of history down that way too. So.
Yeah. What's your favourite place, Barlow, to go?
My favourite place will be kind of like over by Angus's Bay by the Te Aukau Wharf there, all in amongst all those rock formations.
Yeah. It's different. And I know a lot of people like going out on the water because it's kind of like it's a psychological thing of leaving stress behind, leaving everything behind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does it feel like that for you guys, or you're still at work?
No, it feels like that too.
Feels like that too. Awesome. That's what you want in a job.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good.
I forget I'm the captain.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like stay focused.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we'll be talking to Andrew Stump, who's the new owner of the Wahine. Well, not that new anymore, but bought the boat after Charlie and Aaron sold it. And Barlow, who's been the captain all the way through and looking good for a few more years yet, I'd say.
Yep.
And nice to chat to you guys this morning, see how it's going. And good to hear that it's going well after, you know, we've all had, well, people in business had stressful times.
Mm.
And thanks,
Aaron.
We've had stressful times here too, not because we were financially worried, but just we're super busy. So it's all that, yeah, it's good to be able to just get back to normal life, I think, hey?
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, thanks for coming in, guys.
Yep. No, thank you very much.
Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right, folks, that's an extra late morning show for you there. I hope you enjoyed it. I will be back again tomorrow morning in the studio. 8 o'clock, as always.